The competitions are ongoing, and if you want a depth chart from Ohio State, you're just going to have to wait another week. Welcome to Snap Judgments on a Monday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, family day for the Buckeyes as they refresh, recover, get back to work after Saturday's scrimmage. Light on details, but we did hear from Ryan Day about that. Some guys that are standing out, some progress that's being made, but another scrimmage on Saturday, Berm, that is going to actually tell the tale for who's going to be playing against Texas.
Maybe. Is it? I mean, Ryan Day said over and over on Monday at his press conference that we're not really in a hurry, basically. Like, there's no reason for us to rush into this. We're trying to figure out how to get everyone ready to beat Texas. That includes both quarterbacks. That includes offensive linemen at multiple positions. That includes everyone at defensive tackle, trying to figure out exactly how many you got, because some guys are stepping up, but then how many do you have? It's a lot of obfuscation, and it's understandable, I suppose, for Ryan Day to not want to say that much. I was thinking about this, and this is something I will ask him in 2 weeks as we head into the actual game week stuff with Texas. But I do wonder, changing an offensive coordinator, changing a defensive coordinator, changing a quarterback, all of these changes, like, there is an advantage for Ohio State and Ryan Day to basically say nothing, because you're in a very unique position to have to rematch against a top two team in the country within a three-game stretch. But there's a lot of differences here at Ohio State and Texas. Well, yeah, they lost some players to the NFL. Their scheme, their program, their identity offensively is pretty much going to be the exact same. So yeah. I can understand Ryan Day's reluctance to saying anything or giving anything away. But unfortunately, this leads to a lot of assumptions. And then he does drop the big bomb. Like, while no positions are settled, Austin Saravelle is working exclusively at left tackle. Which would seem to me to indicate Austin Saravelle is this team's left tackle.
That's a pretty substantial seismic development. Yeah. And I didn't think that would be where we would be starting on Snap Judgments, but here we are. He's Jeremy Birmingham, by the way. I am Austin Ward. And Austin Saravelle, we've known since April that he was going to start somewhere. And then Ryan Day, it was 6 days ago, was like, well, he's also getting some work. And we looked with Mickey Marotti and we talked with Tyler Bowen, and he's got the size profile. He's got a little bit of experience. We saw that in training camp a year ago with Austin Saravelle. That was the first time I remember seeing him get any snaps at left tackle. And then 1 year later, here we are, where it doesn't seem like there's another outcome. And then that, as you said, for assumptions or other questions, what does that mean for Ethan Onyanwa and Philip Daniels? Because multiple people suggested that Philip Daniels was one of the standouts in Saturday's scrimmage. Ryan Day was not amongst that group, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out the way the rest of this works together. And you know that Carson Hensman is going to start at center.
And
seems
the conversation about Luke Montgomery and Tegra Shibola
is unchanged.
On Monday didn't seem to leave anything open for interpretation.
Yeah. Right? And it's hard to imagine a world where Tegra Shibola, with the experience that he has, is not there at right guard, especially being fully healthy. And the way he played at the end of last year was because of some of the injuries he was working through. So, boy, the way that this has changed the configuration of the offensive line in 2 weeks is not something I would have ever imagined.
No, but it's also kind of understandable. I mean, again, number one is Austin Saravelle is different than he was even last January. He's a little leaner. He's probably a little taller. This is what happens when you're a 21-year-old. You're still growing a little bit. Like, he looks like a left tackle now. But number two, the film that Ohio State really watched when they decided to go after Ethan Onyanwa was how he performed against Texas when he was at Rice. And he played right tackle in that game. So I don't know if that's a piece of this puzzle. I don't know if it's just a guy who's going through a little bit of a slump. We don't really know the details, but again, I choose to err on the side of, if one guy is rising up the depth chart, it's because that guy's doing something right, as opposed to the idea that the other guy is just not living up to the expectation. Philip Daniels, again, we have seen him every practice that we've been able to be in here since March.
Yep.
He's one of the last guys out here all the time.
Him and CJ Hicks.
He's clearly working hard. Now, does that mean he's past Ethan Onyanwa? We have no idea. I mean, there's no reason to speculate. The goal, clearly, for Ryan Day is to say, we have 9 or 10 guys who can play, because that's what he fell back on today. It was like, the offensive line depth is where he's never seen it at Ohio State, but that doesn't mean you have all the pieces in place as we sit here on August 11th.
Yeah, he included Ian Moore and Gabe Van Sickle in that conversation as well. So another thing to watch. I think you mentioned this at the start of the show, Berm, and why rush? You have time. It's a wild juxtaposition because at the same time, Ryan Day saying, well, you have another scrimmage where you evaluate coming on this Saturday, and then maybe you finalize and you don't go fully into Texas by this time next week, but you're getting pretty close to that point. And then he's like, well, we're inside 3 weeks and this game is a monster, he said, and we need the horseshoe rocking. They are running out of time to make some of these decisions.
Yeah, but you can rush, but don't hurry, I guess, is the way that the old cliche, right? You're hurry, but don't rush. I don't know. I'm not big on cliches.
Be quick, but don't hurry.
Be quick, but don't hurry. And so Ryan Day seemed to be pretty relieved, I guess, in a way. And maybe that's not the right word, that this is just there's only two quarterbacks getting first team reps. There's no conversations about trying to roll anyone else in. Like, he clearly said, and he said, we get so many reps in practice. Like, so they've obviously maintained, I think, some of the split field stuff and kept these guys going as much as they can. But that's about quarterbacks. There's not a huge number of really open competitions on this team. So it's quarterback, right? What else is there? You're going to play both running backs a lot. You might even play three or four.
Yeah.
You're going to play four tight ends. You're going to play all these offensive linemen. You're going to play all the receivers. It's really just about how do you make the right choice at quarterback? And you know, that ultimately will tell the tale of every college football team's season. But for Ohio State, like Ryan Day said, hey, Julian's never started a game before. Like, how do you know what you have until that game happens either way?
Somebody who watched the scrimmage on Saturday made this comparison to Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins to me on Saturday. I'm like, I'm going to have to think about that one for a second. But it did make sense in the context of not what Joe and Dwayne became, but what they were at the time that Ryan Day was involved with that, which was there's just this. Well, did that surprise you at all?
No, I mean, that makes as much sense to me as what I guess we would have assumed. So context here is Austin asked Ryan Day which of the previous quarterback battles / camp competitions this one reminded of him, and he said Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow. So I think a lot of people maybe would have presumed he would have said Devin Brown, Kyle McCord because of the recency bias. But to go back to his first year here I think is interesting. And what he really brought up was the personalities and the way that these guys are as people, not necessarily what they are as quarterbacks. Because
I think it's also
some of that too. Yeah, certainly. Because Dwayne was, you look at him and you're like, this dude just throws the football like in a different realm than other people. And that has always been the conversation around Julian. So, you know, as happened in 2017, like Dwayne won the job, or in 2018, because he could just throw the football better. And you had so many guys, you had so many weapons, and maybe that's what I'll take away from it, because it's like, well, if the goal is to just get the ball in the hands of the guy who can get it to all these other people, then how do you pass up that guy? And obviously he was validated in choosing Dwayne in 2018.
Well, and that was the other factor, was there is so much, in my opinion, revisionist history about Joe Burrow at that time. And I said it in 16, in 17, you weren't seeing Joe Burrow touch every part of the field. You weren't seeing the arm strength. In fact, you even on some of the short and intermediate stuff, there'd be two throws out of 10. You were like, that went directly into the ground. How does that make any sense? But you knew the competitiveness. The people in the locker room loved being around Joe Burrow. There was that element of playing multiple sports and being an athlete and just being a competitive dude that everyone loved. And like, okay, that's Lincoln Kienholz. Joe Burrow was not a Heisman Trophy winner until 2 years after he left Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was not a finished product. He became that somewhere else, and full credit to him for doing so.
He also got to be 22, 23 years old, and he had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Those things are beneficial as well.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, if there are, for the folks out there who are wanting a decision to be made immediately, don't believe that the competition is legitimate or not, like, Dwayne won that battle on the strength of having superior arm talent.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there, like, we've said it over and over, there's not really any debate about who that is on this team.
No. And, you know, that's why it is hard to figure out. So the end of Ryan Day's press conference today, he was asked about Iron Buckeyes, and I know that there's people who will listen to any college football head coach and just assume he's politicking all the time. But when you listen to Ryan Day, and you can go to the 10 TV YouTube channel to watch the Ryan Day press conference if you are interested, just go to the end. Like, the way he's talking about the guys who are in the program, the leader, the Iron Buckeyes, like, that is not just cliched conversation. That is a passionate defense of the guys who are actually leading the program. And it is impossible to just ignore the fact that Lincoln Kienholz is the only quarterback to have ever been named an Iron Buckeye. And then you hear the way Ryan Day talks about it, and you go, well, can we just ignore that? But then we feel like you almost have to ignore it, because we all believe, to a man that covers this team, that eventually, by the time 3 weeks from now is up, like, Julian Sain will be the starting quarterback. But it's still like, here's this very bright, shiny thing that we have to pay attention to. And I don't know how you ignore it.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out, because there is another scrimmage, a huge one, scrimmage number two, on Saturday. So it's going to be a busy week again here in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Looking forward to more snap judgments on Tuesday. The offensive line will be out here. Tyler Bowen, that's going to be
an interesting day.
Really interesting. Thursday, Larry Johnson in the defensive line. Also a very interesting group there, and a lot of intrigue around the defensive tackles and the depth. We've talked about that all offseason.
You're going to do Talking Tuesday with Adam King on the Tuesday morning edition of The Beat. So I want to dive in here before we wrap up this episode of Snap Judgment.
Do it.
Because I'm not going to get to that. When you think about the conversation with Tyler Bowen on Tuesday, what is it? All Austin Sarabelle based, or is it all Ethan Anianwa and Philip Daniels conversation based, or what is the?
I don't think we
approach?
Need.
What's the media? What's the correct media approach to try to get something out of Tyler Bowen here that will actually answer a question?
Are you asking me if I want to talk about Austin Sarabelle?
Yeah.
Have you ever known me to not want to do that?
That's because you are contractually obligated, because you guys are both named Austin. But what do
you're not
you
supposed
say,
to know about?
What
that?
Do you say to Tyler Bowen to get the answer you're looking for about what's the impetus of this change?
Yeah, I think I would go at it from the perspective of the primary and secondary positions. I think, what do you view currently Ethan Onyanwa's primary position? Because it can't be left tackle.
Right, if Austin Sarabelle's exclusively at left tackle, then he can't be.
So if Tyler Bowen were then to say primary position is right tackle, secondary position is guard, and we'll see which side he's better at, like, that's pretty illuminating. If Philip Daniels is not getting any reps anywhere at guard and is only at right tackle, I mean, there's a positive, I guess, if you have three guys that you trust, and maybe four, depending. You know, Ryan Day also brought up Ian Moore on Monday. You know, that's good. You need that depth. Ohio State proved that a year ago on the way to the national championship. But they also, when they brought in Onyanwa from Rice, he did not come cheaply. He could have been a second day NFL draft pick. So, you know, has this worked out differently than you imagined, I think would be the question. And he'd probably say no, because we're cross training, we're doing multiple positions, and, you know, that's fine too. But sometimes the way that they answer that will be more revealing on if there is any actual concern or dissatisfaction, or if it's purely a matter of Philip Daniels elevating, which is on the table.
What if he says Austin Sarabelle has locked down the left tackle position, and Ian Moore, Ethan Anianwa, and Philip Daniels are competing at right tackle? How different does that make the conversation if it's not just Ian's playing behind Austin at left and Philip and Ethan are at right?
Competition's good. I think it would be surprising to me if that's the way that they view it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would it change something for you?
I think it would a little bit, because if you're saying that now either Ian and Philip are elevating, and then it's you're getting this quagmire at right tackle, then it becomes a much different conversation to me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if quagmire is the right word. If they're all at a point where Tyler Bowen believes that they could start for Ohio State, then, you know.
Bottleneck. Let's say bottleneck at right tackle.
But not everyone can play.
That's right.
You know? Exactly. And you have to have a pair and a spare.
That's right. So it'll be an interesting day, to say the least.
Yeah.
I think what's funny is that we're going to go into a day like tomorrow, and there's going to be conversation about tackles, and that's it. Like, no one's going to talk about – there were some guys asking in the press conference about Carson Hinsman and his role, so maybe there's a Carson Hinsman story that's coming out there the Remington Awards.
Remington Trophy watch list
or whatever, but every starting offensive lineman at Ohio State should be on a watch list somewhere.
I think Carson Hensman is going to win the Remington. That's a bold P on a snappy J.
Wow. Well, we're really going for it.
We are.
There's a lot more to talk about. Well, he'll talk about some of it with Austin, with Adam in the morning.
Yeah. And then Berman will, of course, be back for those snap judgments on the offensive line. So,
do you smell anything else? Do you smell?
Do you smell football?
Do you smell football? Do you smell chicken wings? Do you smell like it, Mondays feel like they're missing something? And
I bet we're not missing it for long.
Yeah, can't wait.
Seems like we're getting pretty close to something that's fun and casual.
I like fun, casual conversations.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. Can't wait for those Mondays to fill back up.
It's gonna be great. These though are snap judgments on a Monday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. I don't know, what is this, 11 practices somewhere in that neighborhood?
I think on my filing system with my computer for the snap judgment edition, I have P10.
Okay,
but I might be wrong.
Okay,
maybe you missed one. Yeah, I mean, once we get to the weekends, days get lost. I don't know which days are actually practices. It's 10 or 11.
I don't know. Well, we're 19 days away from the opener.
That's what we know for sure.
A real positive as we get closer to Ohio State and Texas. You can feel it. Ryan Day wants Buckeye Nation to be loud for that game. Doesn't care.
He said it's as loud as it's ever been.
And he referenced the Indiana game, which...
Did that game... now we're just deviating. Did that game feel that loud to you?
I never know because it's so quiet in the press box.
Like, when Caleb Downs returned the kickoff in the second half for a touch, or the punt return, I was like, that was about...
That was pretty loud.
That was pretty loud. But, like, the first half was kind of weird.
I assume it's hard for Ohio State to get really up for Indiana because they knew that they were frauds, but...
Yeah, it was...
Or Kurt Cignetti's a fraud.
But, I mean... He did mention other games, Tennessee game last year, Notre Dame game 2 years ago, like 3 years ago. It's time to get loud. So get your, start drinking your teas, your honey, get yourselves enough vocal rest in the next 3 weeks that you can really make it a problem on the 30th.
And plan your tailgates now. It's never too early for that.
That's correct.
It's getting close and it's getting fun to talk about what's going on in training camp with Berm. I am Austin. These have been Snap Judgments. We'll be back for some Talking Tuesday on the beat and then back in this building again tomorrow to talk about the offensive line. We'll see you there. Bye.